Retail compliance KPIs. A supply chain partner may give an organization metrics to use, and these are then included in the organization's KPIs. A key example of this is retail compliance metrics, which have arisen in part due to the stiff competition from online sales that require retailers to operate with very thin profit margins. Retail compliance KPIs can include many things, for example, advanced ship notices, ASNs, being filed correctly and on time, correct retailer-specific labeling, label placement on box and packing slip formats, barcodes properly traced and tracked, correct pallet type, correct assortment per master carton, or electronic data interchange, EDI purchase orders being in the correct format, complete, and receipts being acknowledged within the required window. Often each individual violation can result in a separate chargeback. There are also whole order metrics like on time in full, OTIF, or must arrive by date, MABD. There are usually financial penalties for failing to meet these requirements a sufficient percentage of the time. If these targets are not being achieved often enough, senior management will need to have strategic level discussions regarding whether and how to achieve compliance. Key questions to ask include, what information is needed from the retailer, and how can we better partner with the retailer to get better data or get data sooner, for example, to provide more lead time? Is the supply chain integrated and aligned well enough to achieve these goals? If not, what changes in processes, technologies, or communications do we and our partners need to make to improve collaboration? Is the cost of extra inventory being pushed back to earlier supply chain partners, such as for just-in-time availability? If so, can we charge more for this added value? What do the carrier selection and monitoring and controlling processes look like? And does this result in use of carriers who have good enough performance? Are the operations of suppliers capable of fulfilling the required demand so that order fill rates can be acceptable? Is compliance being required for retail deliveries only or also for drop ships directly to customers? Does this include customizing boxes or labels to reflect the retailer? How does the cost of accepting the penalty at the given rate of occurrence compare to the cost of any necessary re-engineering and/or continuous improvement efforts that would be needed to achieve compliance? It is important to understand that the changes needed to get a supply chain into compliance can be highly disruptive, and individuals involved may resist the changes and want to maintain the status quo. Organizations will need to invest in change management to ingrain the changes in the culture. Providing opportunities for individuals to get involved in planning helps with buy-in. Leaders will need to inspire staff with a compelling vision of the desired end result and its benefits. Incentives and penalties for third parties, teams, and individuals may need to be implemented to ensure accountability. A best practice for improving a complex system is to include all affected parties in a problem-solving team. The group will have expertise in multiple areas, and everyone can come to agreement on a cohesive plan. Some supply chain partners may already have solutions to a given problem, and this can be leveraged. Such teams should have regular meetings to sustain prior changes and suggest new ones. When determining what changes will result in the biggest impact, it is important to always make decisions that are supported by measurement, data, and analysis. This may include verifying that forecast error rates are acceptable, generating internal scorecards to enable self-correction, as well as independent verification of one's own errors. Safety stock, replenishment levels, and delivery frequencies per location are being set based on sound methodologies and are data-driven. While the costs versus the benefits of any changes need to be assessed prior to making large investments, in general, the penalties for non-compliance cut so deeply into profit margins that every reasonable effort needs to be made to ensure compliance, or at least reduce the risk of non-compliance. Even if an organization decides to include some funds in its budget to cover some amount of failures, if failures become too frequent or severe, the risk of losing the business entirely will grow over time. An important mindset to take is that investing in improvements will make the organization more efficient and profitable in general. There are a number of changes that can be made that will not have a huge cost to implement. First and foremost, learn the retailer's rules of trade and ensure that suppliers, carriers, and logistics professionals know each retailer's compliance rules very thoroughly. Retailers often have support hotlines to help, and vendor compliance workshops are another option. Once these rules are known, program them into warehouse management systems, order management systems, written procedures, and so on whenever possible so that they become part of the regular process. For example, incorporating labeling, assortment handling, and master carton packing into DC put-away processes will reduce the steps required during picking, such as break bulk and reconstructing retailer-specific orders, and reduce chances for errors when time is of the essence. Regular communications with retailers is also important, both to show commitment and to create plans for improvement.